I will officially call the meeting to order at 5:33. I will turn it to public comment in El Centro.
No public comment from El Centro.
And I will turn it to public comment to San Bernardino. Doesn't sound like, I think she muted herself. I don't think there's any. Oh, she texted me. No input. No input from San Bernardino. Okay. Well,
I apologize.
That's okay. That's okay. I kind of figured out when there was that Zoom silence. So, well, moving forward, as we had talked about board members, we were really hoping to bring a part of Ballington Academy to you. January, we set it off with Ms. Shannon's team member and gave us a presentation on attempting to get out of a room. And through that process, we learned a little bit about math and I think literacy at the time. Moving forward into February, and our hope is to actually bring at least at one of our meetings a touch of Ballington Academy. So without further ado, Mr. Anderson, quote unquote, has volunteered El Centro to bring forward a part of their world. And in this case, it's Mr. Israel Jones, and he I'd like board members and to introduce Mr. Israel Jones to you, and he is excited to do the activity for us, or presentation, I should say, this evening. And Mr. Anderson, I'll turn it over to you at this point.
I would like to introduce Mr. Jones to you. He is our engineer teacher, our engineer specialist, and works with the children, as well as ACE's drone coding, as well as, you know, set out the telescopes and let's look at a full moon, as well as whatever else needs to be done. I appreciate everything he brings to school. And he's been working on a project now with eggs and keeping them safe and momentum and things like that. So I'm just going to turn it over to him. He's got together a video and he can talk a little bit more about some of the things he's been working on in our engineer program. So, Mr. Jones, I'm going to hand it over to you. Are you able to take hold of the reins?
Yes, I think so. Can you hear me?
Yes, very much.
All right, sweet. Okay. So, you actually have two different things. One of them is the egg and the vehicles, and that's our kind of fourth grade project. But I also kind of wanted to talk about a sixth grade project that I've been working on. It has to do with cell models. And so for our kind of standards that we're covering, it is to develop and use a model to describe the function of a cell as a whole and ways parts of cells contribute to the function. So I was really excited with this one because I kind of saw develop a model and kind of gave the sixth graders a free rein of how to make their model. And so I was like, all right, we have all the supplies here in the science room. You can use, you know, pencils, drawing, and like a 2D thing. You can use your computers to do something through Google Documents or any of our things we've done there, or you can use clay. And so I got some really nice creative things. And so like one of them, I have just like a nice regular drawing and it has all the eight organelles that we've talked about. We also kind of compared the different parts of the cell to parts of the city to kind of help give some more connections that they can, you know, keep the connections will help them remember things better. So we have a drawing and then we also have one that is kind of made out of clay. This one hasn't been attached yet. So I'm gonna actually lower this down here. Let's see, there we go. And so just made like really intricate models. This part probably thanks to Ms. Guzman as well, our art teacher, because they just made little things that follow the different, like the mitochondria is the ones over here. And those, that's the powerhouse of the cell, gives the cell energy and things like that. The membrane, the nucleus here with this little, with the DNA, you can kind of see it over there. And so they did really well with the 3D model like this, or a clay model that they made. And then because of our ACES program, we have our 3D printers. I was like, hey, for the ones that are in my ACES class, you guys can model things online. And so let me get that one. Let me make sure this is not, Yeah, there we go. So we used a program that's called Tinkercad that is for free online. Let's see, I think if I'm sharing that correctly. This here is a 3D model that a sixth grader made. And this one, he is creating the ribosomes, and the ribosomes are the construction workers. And so they can kind of bring in these different shapes that are come together. And so you kind of see let's see if I can move it with just my, yeah, there we go. So to make the little models, and then I was able to print it out. And so the whole thing, he hasn't been able to finish it with the coloring, but that one that you saw there gets printed out as this little guy. And so we have a ribosome over here. As I said, they were comparing it to a town. And so they have like their town hall, which will be the nucleus, and that's their exocell with everything. And they have the different parts of the mitochondria. This is kind of a power supply thing yet. So they haven't been able to color it in all yet. That's something that they'll be working on. And lastly, last year with ACES.
Can we clarify though, Mr. Jones, it's all through 3D printing, correct?
Yes, so this whole thing was printed with the 3D, the printers that we have. And so just like the model that you see there that they had or that I was showing earlier, then it kind of prints it out like this. And this one luckily isn't too long of a print. So they're able to make it and then print it out right after that. And so I'm excited to see more ways that I kind of can involve with 3D printing in different, in our different projects and stuff. And then lastly, as I said, last year I was doing with some work on coding on Scratch. And the student kind of did something really fast, drawing really fast. And I was like, hey, I know you like doing Scratch. I know you like making the little drawings in there. How about you try doing like an interactive cell model? And then since I got really excited, and then started creating this one. And she wanted to emphasize that it was not finished. So she named it Not Finished. But she made this like little cell model, and it's interactive. So you can click explore the cell, and it has like animations and things on there. And so she's finished the nucleus, which is this box here in the middle. And if you click on it, there we go, it pops up as a nucleus, and this nucleus stores DNA and kind of gives the explanation there. And then click the X, and it goes back to our main thing over here. So just kind of some basic coding stuff, but I really like the art style that she has with it, and also just the little animation. There we go, little animations that she can add. So she'll be adding more things on there, but I thought it was really cool. So that kind of goes with the different cell models. As you can see, we try to involve different things, whatever they'd be most interested in making, whether it's on paper, clay, with the Scratch, or with 3D modeling. So that's sixth grade. If you have any questions, I can answer questions for that.
I don't know if I have questions, but the idea though is that the students were given free rein to create their understanding of a cell via any model they chose. So when I think of that, I think of a very creative mind process that goes on. Because again, in 21st century skills, it is the idea of creation. It's the organizing of different ideas and putting them together and then presenting them in a different way. So you've given your students a different way to present their understanding of the same concept via different models, correct?
Yeah, and also I've been going by, I'm like, oh, so what's this one again? And he's like, oh, that's the the Golgi apparatus, which is not an easy word to use. You
know. No.
Yeah, that one's there. Oh, that's the nucleus, that's the ribosomes. So it's been kind of fun to just seeing their creativity with this one and then applying it back to what the names of the organelles and then the function of them as well.
Right, I love it. Three-dimensional.
Just phenomenal. I the last one where you showed it, it sounded like just from being able to do coding, the student was able to actually bring alive so to speak, a cell. So that was phenomenal. I'm always used to PowerPoint where, you know, you can just drag and drop, but for her to have created that just with coding, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Amazing. Definitely. So tremendous efforts to you, Mr. Jones, and your students. Hats off. And I know walking into your little laboratory, so to speak, it's just phenomenal in there too. So thank you.
He's got more.
I know. I'm going to be quiet.
Yeah, so then we also did a fourth grade project, and fourth grade they talked about, I lost my train of thought, but that's okay, because part of it's in the video. So let me just go ahead and get that video going, and then.
The idea was to construct a vehicle that would keep an egg safe.
There we go. Yeah, that was my learning target there, and then it had to do with, I am blanking on the word right now.
It's been a long day, Mr. Jones.
I know, it's at the end. Let's see. I'll get it here, but that's why I wrote it down to see. Can you, actually, I'm not sure if I am sharing the sound. This is screen share. No, I'm not sharing sound, or else I would have heard. One is screen share. In moments. It's been a while since I've used Zoom and I've been fortunate in that way. Oh, it doesn't. Share sound. Share. There we go. All right. Do you guys see a Mr. Jones science and engineering teacher thing on there?
Yes.
Cool. Perfect.
Hello, I am Mr. Jones, and I am the science and engineering teacher at Ballington Academy. Today, I am presenting the fourth grade Energy Collisions Project. The learning target for this project was I can create a vehicle that keeps an egg safe from a collision. Students worked in collaborative groups to design and create the vehicles. The science standard covered in this project was PS3.C, relationship between energy and forces. When objects collide, contact forces transfer energy so as to change the object's motions. Here are some of the examples of the vehicles that the students created. With their creations, students used the VEX kits, which are the plastic interlocking pieces, as well as duct tape, scotch tape, cotton, paper, rubber bands, and pipe cleaners to keep the egg safe during its collision. Of course, after building the vehicles, we had to test them, which leads to our engineering standard ETS1.B, developing possible solutions. Tests are often designed to identify failure points or difficulties which suggest the elements of the design that need to be improved. The following clips are slow-mo clips of the students' final and most challenging tests.
Oof.
We performed a variety of tests, ranging in difficulty, starting with plastic eggs and a small ramp, leading up to using real eggs and a much larger ramp. We used this footage at the end of our project to reflect on how well the vehicles were able to protect the egg.
Ouch. Yikes.
Thank you for watching.
All right. So generally the eggs that they, let me stop sharing here, that they kept in the vehicle survived. And anytime that it would come off, those didn't really quite survive as well. But that was like the end. We started, as I said, with a small ramp and the plastic eggs, so I didn't have to buy a lot of eggs. And then they would say, hey, your egg is coming out, and that could be something that you're changing. Or, hey, do you notice how this vehicle didn't make any sound when it crashed because it had all that cotton and all that bubble wrap in front. And so kind of using the examples that the other students made and then kind of talking through that process was what we kind of worked all the way up to the end. And the kids really enjoyed seeing these crashes there at the end.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Well, sounded like fun to do that experiment. I think the kids must have had a lot of fun, huh?
Yeah, those fourth graders enjoyed.
Very hands-on hands-on classroom. And the thing that I love about it is the collaboration that takes place as well, you know, because they're always problem solving, they're always collaborating, you know, they're always working on all of these concepts that Mr. Jones understands.
Yeah, and I enjoy it. I'm like much more of a hands-on person. So I love doing that and giving them insight on different, on their solutions and things.
Thank you,
Mr. Anderson and Mr. Jones. Could you talk a little bit about the evolution of the actual laboratory? I know when Ballington first opened up, I think we had a chair, and we were excited because we had a chair. Could you just kind of walk through the whole, you know, the journey of, you know, then we had two chairs and then we...
Well, you know, I think part of it too was the idea of, you know, what was this space going to be? And then there was a grant to buy lab equipment and things. And at the time, you know, we were thinking in terms of science and labs and things like that. But truth be told, in the inception of what that was to the point of where we are now, things have shifted so much with 21st century skills and hands-on learning and things like that, that it kind of morphed a little bit. And we recognized that, you know, the space that we had prepared was not really the space that we needed for what we were trying to do in our engineering class. Fortunately, we received a $63,000 grant from the, you know, El Centri community, you know, so that was a good thing. And we purchased, you know, a lot more 21st century skills type materials and curriculum materials. And then recently with the ACES program, we were able to morph that into creating more of a makerspace. So we now are looking at the concept of having, you know, bigger butcher block tables that children can work at, more storage for different robotics and things like that, and shifting the program into more of an open space, 21st century place. You know, so we've been able to shift the look of it, and then also to move towards the idea of you know, providing the students with really an engineer program that's dynamic. And I look forward to the future too, because, you know, part and parcel to what we did with Project Lead the Way, we also spend time collecting things that will allow us to, you know, we have tools, we have some drones, we have cameras, we have, you know, weather balloons, we have things that the students will be able to hands-on create. You know, we're hoping to in the future, you know, put together with the older kids weather balloons and go cameras and, you know, plot different you know, balloons and where they go and search for them and bring them back. And, you know, so it's kind of been an evolving thing. You know, part and parcel to that is the work we did several years back going to the deeper dive at High Tech High, you know, so they offered us a little bit more insight into what a dynamic program would look like. So, you know, we're really excited about, you know, creating that vision and deepening that vision. But, you know, I mean, what we have now is I think, phenomenal. A lot of hands-on stuff going on. The ACES program is alive. You know, there's never a moment that those 3D printers aren't creating something. You know, so I feel we're real fortunate. And I do want to thank Mr. Jones for everything he brings to the school.
So with the 3D printers, what is the material you use to get an output?
It's a plastic spool. So it's a spool, and it looks like it's just a string of plastic. Goes into the printer, and it has like it heats it up and then kind of just spaghettis it everywhere. And then it's like a layer by layer for everything.
Okay.
And especially when things are small like that, the students can see, oh, here's how it's kind of building it up. It's kind of, you know, 30 minutes for one of the smaller things.
I think I want to point out too that prior to this work, you know, I know Mr. Jones was working with his ACES kids to create avatars, and they did some drafting and they created this idea of what they wanted to create three-dimensionally, and then to be able to take that drawing and to recreate it in three-dimensional space, time and space, is a phenomenal opportunity for children to see their ideas go from mind to paper to 3D. That's a phenomenal process. It really is. So that's what we're working on. When I did get, we'll talk tomorrow about striping, okay? All right, Mr. Jones, I know you've got ACES you're working on right now, so I'm going to let you go and get back to work, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time this evening. Much appreciated.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you have it.
You've given me a standard to beat, Mr. Anderson.
Stop it.
We need to get you project lead the way, Shannon. I think that was responsible for, or at least helped, was a catalyst at least for getting a lot of the materials. I think that was a tremendous support. You did a little bit though with your own codes, Grant.
Yeah, actually I was thinking that would be a great thing, board members, you might enjoy seeing next month is with our kids code grant, we were able to, this was a couple of years ago, we were able to purchase literal robots and they use tablets to code the actions of the robots. So that might be a fun thing for you to see next month.
We'll go hand in hand, right? Okay. Any questions for Mr. Anderson on process, instruction, Mr. Jones's presentation?
It's all, as you can see, it's all standard based, you know, it really is. So we do work with the standard and then we try to give it an opportunity in real time to happen. So I can't appreciate what he does enough, you know.
And Mr. Anderson, can you talk a little bit about what, and I know I asked Ms. Shannon this last time, what is so unique about this as in comparison to a more traditional school?
Well, it's really the hands-on nature. I mean, just the idea of not just having direct instruction of what, you know, a cell is and the structure of a cell and what all these pieces do. I mean, that's nice. I mean, that's how we learned. We were provided with the information. We might've been able to see a picture, but the idea to not just, you know, get the information, but then to take that information and to mull it about and to organize it in such a way that you then have to create something that demonstrates your understanding. So in a sense, that really is a critical thinking, that really is a higher order thinking skill. And then also to be able to work with other students to communicate that collaboratively, you know, so there's a lot of communication, there's a lot of collaboration, there's a lot of creation. And since it's coming from the actual students that make it, I think it just gives a little bit more depth and breadth and ownership of their learning. So, you know, I appreciate the dynamic nature of what it is, you know. I mean, you know, even the idea of kids getting up and using their hands to create some kind of a device that's going to keep an egg safe. I mean, I don't remember that in school.
No, we just memorized. I think the closest thing I came to an egg was that psychology experiment where we had to maintain the egg. Remember, like that we had to keep that egg safe. And I think the majority of the students in my class by the end of the second day, we failed miserably at keeping that egg safe. So yeah. Tremendous kudos to you and your team, Mr. Anderson. Again, I just, you know, reflecting back on the journey from starting with a chair and looking to see what we're doing now.
Truth be told, Ms. Doreen, beyond starting with a chair, if I'm not mistaken, that room that's now used as the science engineer lab was a storage space filled with an old rusted climbing structure, lots of chairs, lots of debris. And one weekend, myself and a couple of fathers cleared it out, mopped the floor, got it ready, and opened up the space.
Yep.
So we went from- The door
didn't even close. I remember we were worried, having to deal with the lock. The locksmith had to come out and give us a different door.
Yeah. So we've come a long way.
Lots of evolution. Thank you.
Really exciting.
Well, should board members, if there are no other questions, we can move forward with the agenda action items. Okay. So the first on the agenda is approval of February 8, 2022 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve those?
I'll move to approve, Dixie.
Dixie, okay. I have a first. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I think that was
this is Christy.
Christy, thank you. Okay, I have a first, a second. Any discussion? I will go for the roll call vote. Dixie?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Motion carries with 4 roll call votes. Thank you. Okay, the next one, the next item is really a standard one. We bring it to you every single February. It's just an acceptance of our school accountability report card. Primarily, it is an online system. Mr. Anderson and Ms. Brander, for the most part, fill out some of the information. It contains demographic information. When we are doing student testing, it populates the student testing. And then it has an opportunity to tell a little bit about our school. This comes to you every year. It's just one of those standard things that the schools must complete. Do I have a motion to accept our school accountability report card for last year?
Well, move to accept of the SAISC 12 Central and San Bernardino.
Thank you. I have a first of a second.
I'll second.
Denise, right?
Yes.
Okay. A first and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to go for the roll call vote. Carla?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
And Dixie?
Yes.
Motion carries with 4 roll call votes. Okay. The next topic is one that we had asked to table at our last meeting, and that is an approval of the fundraising project. Specifically, we had asked for support to move forward and use some of our fundraising dollars in our El Centro account to go ahead and re-asphalt the playground as part of the playground project, putting that together. Board members, you had directed us to go back to the budget and determine if we could actually identify funds out of the budget to pay for the asphalt item. So Mr. Anderson and I spoke the next day. We did identify the $13,000 we were underspent in our building maintenance line item. So we identified the $13,000 that could be allocated to the resurfacing of that playground. In addition to that, Mr. Anderson did go ahead and reach out to a playground expert under the belief or keeping true to what the funds were raised for to determine some additional enhancements to the playground. I believe, and Mr. Anderson, you can speak a little bit more to this. I know he identified a plan to include another structure and some seating. So with that, we are bringing that to you, board, to potentially move forward with using the fundraising dollars to continue to enhance the playground in the way of building a structure. And some seating. Mr. Anderson, if I misspoke, you can do some clarity.
I want to point out that I reached out to the El Centro Department of Parks and Recreation, had a conversation with the person who directs that program, and we talked about, you know, the design project, and then he directed me to Game Time, the people that he works with, and I reached out to them, and I had a meeting with the person that does the work with El Centro, which was a good connection, because then he felt, oh, okay, well, you know, I'm working with Chris, that's fine, and, you know, it gave us a lot of credibility and hopefully a little bit of a discount. He said he'd work with us. You know, so he's in the process. We talked about it. We looked at measurements of the playground and talked about the idea of what, you know, an age appropriate climbing structure, where it might be placed, what it would take to cut out a space for, as well as provide a foundation in the bottom for safety. And so he's working up plans for that right now. You know, we're looking at it from the place that we have at least $21,000 to $22,000 in this account for the playground. So he's developing a plan. I think we'll wind up a little bit short, but what I'm working on right now with, you know, myself is we're putting together a fundraiser as well. You know, I kind of gave my teachers a sweatshirt, a Ballington sweatshirt for Christmas, and all the parents were like, oh, I want one of those. And oh, you know, so we've got a lot of buzz on that. So we figured, all right, let's do a fundraiser where we sell the school sweatshirt. And then also we're going to emulate, you know, the design for t-shirts. And I'll be rolling that out with a pitch to the parents about this, you know. And then when I talked to the guy at Game Time, he was also talking about a phase 1, phase 2 process where then we could come back to it and fundraise again for another thing. One of the things he that looked really neat, you know, we looked at this climbing structure for older kids, was like a ribbon, you know, that kids could climb on. And he said, there's nobody in the valley has anything like this, you know? So I said, well, let me look at that, you know? And it's not just the cost, you know, we can get a play structure with, you know, not monkey bars, but swinging back and forth and 2 slides and climbing up and, you know, a piece that he says would hold 30 people, quote unquote, you know what I mean, to begin with. You know, but it's not just the structure itself, because we're getting a deal on some sale items right now, 17,000, maybe 17.5 for that. But the cost really is, and the design is free, but the cost really is in the install as well. You know, I mean, we looked at different surfacing. We can't afford the rubber surfacing, which is $100 a square foot for an area that we're looking at for 1,200 square feet. That's a phenomenal amount of money. But he drew up a solution with that other schools use with some fine wood so that we could contain into a structure that he builds. So we're working on this right now to come up with a design to see if we can raise enough funds to at least get that playground to a place where it's age and stage appropriate. But also, you know, we're about to embark on an enrollment push, you know, because we're lacking 85 students right now within the TK kindergarten program. So, you know, we put a survey out to parents already that went out today because we will be attending the winter fair. We allegedly have a corner booth, which is the money, you know. So we'll be decorating that. We're going to try to get enough parent volunteers to man it, as well as some staff to come after hours. You know, and our intention is just to keep hawking our goods. So that combined with the idea of the different spaces we're creating in the school, you know, I'm looking at selling points. You know, right now the playground looks 100% better. Never seen the kids so excited about running around and not falling. You know. So we're really pushing that, as well as the fact we're also working on a concept, or I'm also working on a concept of taking, now that we have one-on-one Chromebooks devices, it's really changed the way that we do technology. It's more integrated and it's a little bit more free than having a tech lab. So we've closed down the tech lab, or in the process of transforming that into a calming room, a wellness center, more of a social emotional place for children as a student lounge to go, and for teachers to come in, you know, with their Chromebooks casually. We hope to break through the wall to the library, you know, to create an adjoining space to that as well, so that we're creating a look of the school that's a little bit more contemporary and student-centered as well. So these are some of the plans that we're kind of working on right now. And I feel like it's exciting. And part of it too, we've got the curriculum. You just saw what we're doing in science. You know, my teachers are becoming reading specialists. You know, we're doing right now, we're deconstructing, or we're identifying essential standards and deconstructing them to be more targeted. You know, so I feel like we've got a lot of our cylinders going, but the idea of trying to create a space that the school, you know, deserves. So those are some of the things that we're dealing with right now. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Anderson.
Thank you. Always planning.
Always planning. Always planning. I know. Always moving forward to the you know, the next level. So. And I know, fortunately, this year we were able to, with the one-time funds from your SELPA, the special education funding, small amount, but at least it gave you the ability to begin to develop that room that you just spoke about.
I think we'll be able to use those funds. They have, you know, we've looked at the earmarked places that you can spend the money for SPED. And one of the things was to create a wellness center. And I actually met with the district last week, and you were talking about the things, and I shared the plan with them. And they said, oh yes, we have a school that has that, that has something like that, you know? So we discussed what they were doing as well. You know, part of it would be to create a space that's, you know, where kids feel at ease, you know, a little bit low light, you know, maybe more muted colors, some flexible seating, some booths that you can do some small group learning in as well, you know. So I've been working with the same people that I've worked with to get the makerspace tables. So they as well are in the process. So I've got to take pictures and things, but we're working in the process of coming up with a design for that. And they're on board with it. And the design comes part and parcel, since it, you know, we're looking at maybe $14,000-$15,000 to get that together.
Thank you. Board members, do you have any questions about the playground, the fundraising, that project?
Not really. I'll start to hear that you have some funds in the regular budget to take care of the asphalt. And that's what you are most worried about, huh, Denise?
Correct. I think for facility maintenance and facility upkeep, that's where we should be using, should be directing those funds and keep that fundraising going for the intended purpose, whatever it is to be. But I just think, I mean, to me, asphalt is the same as the flooring in the school cafeteria. If the tiles are coming up, it's a safety issue. We need to address it. But it's, again, it's building maintenance. And I mean, I know everybody looks at a playground as it's leisure, but it's also, you know, it's important. I mean, playground time is an important time for those kids, and it could be just as educational as classroom time. So I have no hesitation in improving something that will benefit the children. I just want to make sure that the direction that it's going in is the right direction and being applied to what it was originally intended.
And I agree with that too. And I was really interested in hearing what was going to happen, because it was of concern, you know, of just making sure that was spent right, you know, and hearing that background was very helpful as a board member to understand that, you know, we got to be creative sometimes, and we do need to take responsibility for things that were promised and stuff. So it's really great. And the fact that because of this, you were able to look into things, and now the ball is like rolling. My gosh, it's so great. Like, I'm like listening going, this is cool. The fact that we said no turned out to be flipping awesome. Thanks.
Well, I do want to thank you all for that. And I did write a letter to the parents about that. And I thank you all for your stewardship, because it's important to have that, So I did relay that to the parents and then we came up with where do we go next? So thank you very much for that motivation.
And on that note, I won't give you my size during this meeting, but I would love to purchase a sweatshirt, t-shirt, whatever has Ballington on it, because I still go out and promote Ballington. I'm not bad mouthing the school that my kids currently go to, but I wish that they were still at Ballington.
There's always peace, right? We all fill a special puzzle, right? We're all needed.
We'll be taking orders, okay, Denise? So don't worry about it. We'll be reaching out. With fundraising and everything, in fact, the matter is, we have about 159 parents with 212 kids, and I look at it from the perspective of, if we could get even just people buying $100 worth of sweatshirts, a family, we'll have it, so we'll see, I'll keep you posted on that. I'm still, we're still getting organized on it, but that'll be happening, within the month of March. Okay?
Yeah, but those are walking billboards. I mean, those are walking billboards.
Yes, definitely. So. Yeah. And we wear them all the time at school too.
So board members, I'm gonna ask for a motion to move forward with approving the fundraising project. I know Mr. Anderson said the details are still being, I wanna say finalized, but for the most part, it sounds like it's going to be some type of structure. I know when we spoke, Mr. Anderson, we were even gonna try to slide some seating in there if at all possible, depending on the final numbers that come in.
Yeah, I've been looking at different seating arrangements as well. I think I've seen like a small circle table with this, like these half circle places to sit. And I think a couple of those, I envision it also as a place of learning. I know it's hot in the summertime, but when it gets to fall and winter, I can see teachers coming out with their Chromebooks and finding a space to sit and do some work outside as well. I think that's important. That goes back to the social emotional learning, being outside and being able to breathe. So, more plans.
Just need to make sure our fiber reaches to the playground, right?
Get me started. It was windy today. It was windy today.
Oh my goodness, in the summertime, board members, we had took such an intentional focus on upgrading all of the infrastructure, the hardware, the intranet. We moved, and I don't want to pretend I'm an expert because Joseph can jump in and correct me, but I think we had like DSL or something like that. And then we moved, or maybe it was cable, I don't know. But we moved to fiber, hoping that, that would be the fastest and the most reliable.
Nine times out of 10.
I think we're a little bit farther along than pre-fiber, but it still sounds like the wind can still take us down, unfortunately.
Takes the whole valley down. Don't worry, we're not alone.
Okay, so do I have a motion to approve moving forward with that plan for the playground?
I'll make a motion. This is Dixie.
Dixie, I have a first. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Denise, I have a first and I have a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to call for the vote. Dixie?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
And Carla?
Yes.
Motion carries with 4 roll call votes. Okay. Transitioning on to the next topic, and this is the LCAP updates for El Centro and San Bernardino. board members, this is one of those additional things based on a law that was passed coming out of COVID. It's one of those, you know, with COVID, we got additional one-time funding, but I also feel like with the one-time funding came tons of plans, tons of reports, and this was actually out of Assembly Bill 130. In previous years, we would put together our LCAP, and then we would provide you with an update at the end of the year as we began to develop our LCAP for the next year. This year, based on Assembly Bill 130, they're requiring us to give you a mid-year update. Interestingly enough, you don't have to approve it. We just have to provide it to you. So what we have provided for you in your board packet was one for San Bernardino as well as one for El Centro. You will see the goals of the LCAP, and then you will also see where we were at mid-year, which was as of December, and then some of the items, because we were only halfway through the year, we were not able to report on at that point. And we so noted that, but it will be again included in, we'll provide you another update at the end of this year as we move forward into developing our next LCAP for next year. So this one includes an update on our budget overview for parents, which was on the last page, as well as it provides you with our actions and where we are at in relationship to our goals, as well as dollars spent year to date as of December, I will say, not year to date, as it relates to some of our goals. I will turn it over to Bill at this point if he wants to speak to any specific high level. I know it's a plan is a plan that you have seen so many of them this year. If you want to speak to anything that stands out in this last year, I think it shows that we're pretty much on track with our initial goals.
It was a bear. That's all I got to say. But I think I think we've communicated and we were able to keep track of what we're doing. And truth be told, after the process, I feel like we're more ready for the LCAP planning, which will take place soon, you know. So it really was a very interesting process to go through, you know. So have at it.
And the last page where it has, that's the parent budget overview. You'll see, again, as we spoke earlier about the significant drop in LCFF revenue over $1 million, all related to our drop in enrollment. So that really impacted the school tremendously. If not for the one-time ESSER 1, ESSER 2, ESSER 3, all the one-time funding that was able to be given this year, we would have been in a much more difficult space. But again, you can see on the last page a drop of over $1 million. And that is just purely based on enrollment, again, and the impact of COVID.
Are we still going to be okay, though?
So we are, just as we completed our second interim for San Bernardino last board meeting, February 8th, we are finalizing the numbers for El Centro second interim. I will share with you, board members, it is extremely tight. I think the last number I looked at right now is we are planning to be positive by about $4,000. So that shows
it's you. Close.
It's close. It's close. If anything, you know, goes left or right, knock on wood, December and January were tremendously hard on El Centro, not only in enrollment, but on ADA, just the number of absences. And again, we're paid on ADA versus enrollment. So that set us back a little bit. Again, they're very, very close. So we'll be monitoring it for the rest of the school year very, very tightly.
So has the ADA been the same in other schools too?
Well, the difference between a public school and a charter school is that public schools can make attendance up, their ADA up on Saturday school. I don't know why we're not allowed to, but the state of California does not allow us to provide a Saturday school to make up for the ADA.
You know, but I was speaking to one of the financial officers at San Bernardino, and San Bernardino Unified is a really large district. And even with the Saturday school and even with the extended independent study, you know, the virtual academy that they're able to offer, they're still under, like they're missing in their budget over $10 million because of attendance. So they're, you know, if a district that size is hurting that much because of ADA, I think it's fair to say that most districts are.
Oh, they are. Yeah, I talked to El Centro and they were saying a part of it too is there not enough subs, you know.
Yep.
They've got administrators teaching classes and absences. And, you know, the hope is that the state of California holds us harmless and then we'd be back in business. But, you know, we'll have to.
What about the feds and the state, you know, with all this extra money that they don't have to pay out? What will they do with that?
So there is a it's on the bill, or they're trying to get it passed to allow the schools to be held harmless, because it is throughout. It's not just us. It's I've been talking to the district schools as well. Other charter schools were all kind of experiencing the same thing. What they are trying to get passed, and it went through one group, now it has to go through another group, is to keep us held harmless. Much back to the ADA and the enrollment of 2019, what of that February when initially, remember the first year of the pandemic, they said, we're going to hold you harmless. It's okay. You're going to be paid on prior year's ADA and you're going to do okay. They're trying to get that approved for this year as well as next year. Unfortunately, we will not know officially until May. So we're just being extremely prudent. Another thing with school districts that charter schools are not allowed to do or are not privy to, when they look at the ADA for school districts, they give some mitigation. They look at an average ADA across the last years. Charter schools do not have that ability. Unfortunately, they go exactly with your current ADA. So school districts are at a little bit of a advantage in that situation.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If there are no questions for El Centro, I will move forward with San Bernardino. I don't think anything different, definitely just the same overview. It provides you with San Bernardino's goals and where the school is at as of December. San Bernardino also had a reduction in their LCFF revenue as well, not as significant, but again, on the budget overview page, you will see that there was a reduction, and again, that was based on enrollment. Again, thankfully for the one-time fundings, San Bernardino is doing okay. And board members, I'm not sure if you recall that San Bernardino CARES grant that we wrote for 2 years ago. And it was for $280,000. And last year they booked the expenses. Carla, you asked about this, I think. They booked the expenses, but they would not allow me to recognize the revenue because we had not had it in hand. Fortunately, after speaking with San Bernardino just last week, I've submitted my final invoice and they had shared that now it is moving forward for processing. So San Bernardino will be able to recognize that revenue this year. And since the expenses were recognized last year, I know it's almost a watch. It just puts them in a better light this year. So that was fortunate because that was a large amount of money. And that was specifically earmarked for technology upgrades as well as some cleaning and PPE at the time. Shannon, do you want to share anything about your LCAP mid-year report?
I feel comfortable saying that everything that's in there, board members, you're already aware of. It's things that we've shared, you know, since August, how things are going on a weekly or monthly basis, you know, parent meetings and things like that. So I don't feel that there's any surprises in there at all. But of course, you know, both Mr. Anderson and I are happy to answer any questions you may have.
So is everybody back in school and teachers and everybody?
I think at San Bernardino, we've been very, very lucky in that we haven't been impacted by the teacher or sub shortage that some other schools have had. We have had teachers out, but we have a couple of teachers aides with their sub credentials. So the worst case scenario we had was like a little bit of overtime or over their regularly scheduled hours, things like that. Students seem to be back for the most part. We had, you know, it was really, really hard coming back from winter break. That's when we took the big hit. But that's not included in this document because this only goes up to December 31st. As of, I want to say about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, it seems like we were back kind of in that normal groove of regular attendance and not so many sick adults.
I would agree. That's the same with us. I feel as though we got hit hard after the winter. We had teachers out, we had kids out, you know, and then it just leveled off this past week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So I feel like, oh, okay, maybe we've gotten through the Omicron. I've been reading articles about how we're leveling off and going down. So
but we're not talking about it yet. We're not going to jinx it.
All right.
So generally, is everybody happy to be back in person?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's been real, you know, I mean, you know, I've had different meetings with parents and they're really excited about seeing the growth that's taking place in their kids. I met with a parent today and she was saying how happy she was, you know, how her kid has really come alive and has shown growth. And, you know, I mean, I felt, and I, you know, I had a meeting with my staff last week talking about how I felt like we turned a corner just this past week where the children have learned how to do school again. I mean, it took until
February,
you know, August, September, October, November, December, January, on the seventh month, everybody seems to like, oh, okay, I get this now.
Yeah.
So now we begin.
We had a parent meeting last week. And I had a few parents comment with great compliments to the school, to the staff, saying that we were able to stay so consistent with our staffing that we were able to bring the students through the whole COVID situation much more strongly than some other schools. I think they were looking at maybe what some of their older children have gone through at district schools. And they were saying that we did spectacularly with how we supported our families and our children.
That's a really nice compliment.
It was. I'm not gonna lie, I teared up a little bit. You know, we're on the Zoom meeting with all these parents and I'm like, got all verklempt.
I love it.
A lot of schools were experiencing just teachers resigning, right? Just walking off. So knock on wood, we were fortunate that we didn't have to weather that.
And I think because of that, and I don't say this often, and I don't mean it to come off as arrogant, but I do think it's a testament to Bill and I with the culture that we've created, and that we didn't have a ton of teachers leave, which meant those relationships were already there. So we also are not seeing the incredibly explosive student behaviors that we're hearing about across the country. So I think we're lucky in many, many ways.
Good.
I'd agree with that statement. And I don't think it sounds arrogant at all. I think it's absolutely true.
So So thank you to both of you.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
The next is board closing comments, and oh my goodness, it's like an hour, 6:33.
Hey.
Yay.
Maybe we're getting the hang of it too.
It's working, right?
It's going to point out this is my fourth meeting in a row, okay? So this was my day.
I know.
Yeah, but did you have a dog in the building?
Not today, no.
Not today. Katie, another day, right?
Well, I don't have any closing comments. Does anyone else have closing comments? Anything you want to say or cover that we haven't covered?
No.
Okay.
Members, it looks like we're officially ending the meeting at 6:34. We got it down to just a little bit over an hour. So that's good. It's working, right?
Yes. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for your tremendous support.
Oh my gosh.
Be safe, okay?
For all your hard work, Shannon, Bill, Doreen. Oh my gosh.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you, everyone. Bye, everyone. Have a great night.
Good night, Christy. Oh, good night.
I wanted to ask you something.
Oh, of course.
That 700 form.
Yes.
The 700 form. I don't know what to put in some of these boxes. I just did one for my college, but I'm like, I don't